Well, we took a break the last couple of weeks from knowing him, and we're going to dive right back into that, the knowing him. As we really close in on Peter's final messages to the beloved, we're going to close out 2 Peter, and that will probably be the end of the knowing him series, although it will probably be a few weeks before we finish through that, just because it's a powerful three chapters, and to uncover it layer by layer, because there's a height, a depth, a breadth, a length to the Word of God. So the first off, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had this morning already, Lord, the praise and the worship, the life source that you've given to us through the blood of Jesus, that the Spirit has lifted us up, Lord, that we could approach your throne room, Lord, that our praises would just reach you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would encounter us right now with your word. Holy Spirit, use me as a vessel of honor. Speak through me that which you want to accomplish, not my own words. Let your word go forth out and not return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know the opening text. Philippians 3, verse 8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Just stop for a moment there. I have to consider everything else previous as garbage so that I can gain Christ and become one with him. Just as a husband and wife become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through what? Through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power, the resurrection power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death on the cross, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. To know him. To know him. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read all of the chapter. We are only actually going to dive into the first three verses, but I think it's good to set the whole tone of the message. And so it starts off, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to the blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins, forgotten the first love. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Examine yourself, folks. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, amen, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Do you remember that? Do you remember when Jesus turned to Peter and said, this is the way you're going to die. You're going to stretch your arms out. There's a coming a point of time. And he said, I will follow you. I will feed your lambs. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. That's why he wrote these letters. Amen. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we were known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well heed, as the light shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's the truth of what's on your lap. It's God's word, inspired. Men inspired by the Holy Spirit to write that down. And that's a manuscript on your lap. We're going to go there in a little bit. So as we closed out 1 Peter a few weeks ago, I just want to review quickly Peter's letter. And just in a couple sentences, really, Peter was writing 1 Peter to the persecuted church. And Peter's letter in 1 Peter was to remind the believer to persevere, to stand firm in their faith, stand firm in the living hope that Christ has provided to you, and to live a holy life. However, the second letter, this letter that he's writing here, he's writing to the believers to warn them of the deception that is in the church. That's in the church, not out of the church, in the church. He's writing to warn them of false teachers within the church and also alert believers to be prepared for the Lord's coming, for the Lord's return. So he's writing this letter, as we just saw in that at the end of there. This is just before his death, just before Peter's death. And so we really get to see the full growth of Peter's life and the importance of encouraging believers to know Christ, to know him personally. Our scripture was from Philippians, which Paul says to know him, right? Well, we have seen Peter's life and him grow as we've gone through the Gospels to Acts to 1 Peter, and now we're in 2 Peter. He has come to know Christ personally on a level that is what we should want to attain to. And pass, if we can. As one grows in the knowledge of Christ, he or she should look to make disciples. And that is what Peter is doing. He's exemplifying true discipleship in his letters. He's telling you, here's what you need to do. Peter, knowing his time is short, wants the beloved to be on a solid foundation. Solid foundation of their faith on the rock of Christ, that foundation to know God through Christ, through his words, to know him personally. Why? Because there's deception in there. And if you're on sand and not the rock, you get swept away. So this short letter, 3 chapters, Peter really drives the point home. He references knowledge, or to know, 11 times in just 3 chapters. 11 times. Verses 2, 3, 5, 6, 8, 20. Chapter 2, verses 20. Chapter 2, verse 21. Twice. Chapter 3, verse 3. And chapter 3, verse 18. Do you think he's trying to drive home the point to know? Amen. To grow in Christ, one must come to know him more and more. To know his words. Why? Because the living word became flesh, and we now have the living word available to read. It resides inside us, and the Holy Spirit leads us and teaches us in all things. It reveals the truth to you if you are approaching the Word in that way. So the question is, before we jump in to breaking down the Scriptures, are you growing in Christ? Are you growing? Over the last 8 months that we've taught on knowing Him, have you grown? Do you know Him more intimately? Have you sought Him more today than you did before? Does your mind gravitate to the world or to Christ? Do you long for His return? All questions internally to think about and examine where you are in the faith. And I'm sure along in that journey there were stumbles. But are you better today than where you were 8 months ago? If you're not, you got to repent. You got to get going here, folks. Amen. Get off the milk. Get into the meat. Amen. So Peter, as we break in his very first words, his first reference, really shows his growth just by referencing his name. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. Simon was who he was before Christ revealed himself to us, right? And what God's grace changed him to be in Peter. As a result, we see him as Simon, now Peter. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, do you remember he talks about being clothed in humility? Yes. Be clothed in humility. God resists the proud. And so we see Peter's humility referenced because he identifies himself first as a bondservant. He does not jump to his apostle identity, in which references authority in the church, but he references bondservant. A bondservant is a slave. Right. It means, in the Greek word is doulos, which means one who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal of his master, a slave. The Hebrew word for bondservant had a similar connotation. However, the Mosaic law allowed an indentured servant to become a bondservant voluntarily if the servant declares, "I love my master and my wife and children and do not want to go free." Then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door of the post and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. Amen. If you're sharing in the fellowship of his sufferings, our Lord Jesus was pierced. And so if you are a bondservant, you're being pierced with him because you identify that you want to be with him forevermore. You don't want to leave. Romans 6:22. Now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. You've been set free from sin and no longer a slave to sin, have become slaves of God. Do you see the transition? You're either one or the other. A slave to sin, a slave to your flesh, a slave to Satan, or you are a slave to God. One or the other. There's no middle road. So as a bondservant, Peter had the fruit of holiness. And he writes to his believers saying that because he owed his master Jesus absolute obedience, just as we do. Amen? More important than being an apostle, Peter understood the importance of being a slave to Christ. He, just like you and I, were purchased at the auction block by Jesus' blood. And so he reminds the beloved of humility, and he then ends with the apostle of Jesus Christ, which does demonstrate his authority to which was carried in Christ. So Christ gave him this charge. So, and Peter is delivering what? He's delivering the Lord's inspired word. That's why it's in the Bible. What he's writing to the believers is the Holy Spirit inspiring him to write these things, not just to the believers then, but to you and I today. That's why he said, "I'm writing this down for those in the future too. To make sure, I'm going to remind you. Even when I've deceased, I'm reminding you." His words are still speaking today. Amen. And whose words are they? The Holy Spirit through him. So he says, Simon, a bondservant, apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Jesus Christ. So Peter references to those who received the same faith. Same faith as the apostles, and the object of that faith is Jesus Christ, both God and Savior. The faith Peter is referencing comes by what? The righteousness of Christ. It's not our righteousness. Our righteousness is what? As filthy rags. It does nothing. Our righteousness leads us to death. Eternal damnation. Our good deeds do nothing for us. We need Christ's righteousness. And saving faith trusts and holds on to Christ and his righteousness alone. And that is it. And just some confirming scripture to that. We actually explored some of these last week. But Philippians 2, 6 through 11. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. He took himself as the form of a bondservant. Jesus is the supreme example for all of us. And so he created a disciple in Peter, and now Peter is a bondservant. And now Peter is looking to disciple you, saying, you become a bondservant. And coming in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Every knee is going to bow. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Romans chapter 3, 21 through 26. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus to all and all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He is the just, and he justifies you. You have to give faith in him. Christ alone. Why? Because he was fully man and fully God. Just like we talked about last week. He was the only one that could atone for the sins of mankind. Right? Just all John the Baptist had to do was say, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He just looked upon him and saw it. Why? Because John was filled with the Holy Spirit. John was filled with the Holy Spirit and he knew it. It was like, wham, the light of God right there. Whew. We cannot do anything on our own. Our good works do nothing. Nothing. It takes Christ, the Lamb of God, to die a sacrificial death and rise again so we could trust in him. And then as a result, our life is hidden in Christ, right? And his righteousness. I'm saying all these things, and you know these things, but Peter is driving a point home, because there's a lot of garbage that's taught today that is not the foundation of Christ and faith in Christ. So Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied. Let it increase to you in the knowledge to know God and Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. He's referencing the two parts of the Trinity, of God and of Jesus, and later on in verse 21, he references the Holy Spirit. The only way we come to know God the Father is through who? Christ the Son. Jesus himself said this, John 14, 6 through 7. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to who? The Father, except through me. If you had known me, you would also have known my Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him through me. Through me is what Jesus is saying. See, it's through grace that we come to know God. We were separated from God, and what did we deserve? Wrath. Judgment. But by grace you have been saved through faith. As a result of this faith, what do we have? We have peace with God. Romans 5, 1 through 2. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What did Peter say? Grace and peace be multiplied to you. You have access to this peace. We have peace with God through grace. As we come to know Christ more, as we come to know him more, as we grow more in him, his grace and peace grows inside us. It's what is grace? It's his empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own. And it becomes more manifested inside us as we come to know him, as we become more obedient to him, as we become more holy and live a holy life. He starts to work through you more and more and more, because you're surrendering your will, and you're looking for his will to be done. You're looking for his plans to be done, not yours. Do you understand how you grow? As a result, the peace of God, it grows inside you as well. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that we can't comprehend from human standards. That's right. You can't understand that peace. We're talking about a peace that allows one to stand in the face of persecution, fiery trials, intense suffering, to even death. We saw that with Stephen, didn't we? So Peter drives home the point of faith in Christ, because without faith in Christ, without Christ, verses 3 to 7 are not applicable to you. You have to have faith in Christ. If you don't know him, you get nothing. As Willy Wonka said, you get nothing, sir. Good day. Let's just read 2 and 3 again. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So as grace and peace multiplies as we come to know Christ, that through Christ and his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Why is that the case? Why? Because he did everything as man. He became man. He lived as man. And he died as man on the cross, a perfect man. And he rose on the third day, and he conquered the grave, thus restoring what man was once to be in the garden. You learned that last week. In sin, we are dead and under God's judgment. But God, through Christ, provides us eternal life as a gift freely given. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, 11 through 12 says, and this is the testimony. Amen. The testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. What did Peter say? He's giving you all things that pertain to life and godliness. So he, to have that, to have all things that pertain to life, you must have what? What's the condition? You must have the Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Yes, we have eternal life in Christ, but we also have a life that we are living here right now, folks. We have a life we're living here right now, and Peter is telling the beloved, he's telling you and I, that God has given you everything. Everything you need to live life here on earth. He's telling you how to deal with problems. We all have problems, do we not? He's telling you how to deal with persecution, how to deal with death, whether yours or someone you love. He's telling you how to live with a good marriage, how to live financially. Have financial fitness, how to live with relationships, etc. God gave you a manuscript, you and I, and it's the Word of God on how to live life here on this earth. Right. And because grace grows inside you and peace, let's read 2 Corinthians 9 through 8. Just to confirm that he's given you all things that pertain to life. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, "And God is able to make what? All grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in some things." Ah, there it is. "Having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Amen. His grace gives you all sufficiency in all things. Amen. And that pertains to life here on earth. Peter said that we will not only have things that pertain to life, but also in godliness. All things that you need for life and godliness. Ephesians chapter 3. 14 through 21, Paul writes and says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." There it is, faith. "That you, being rooted in grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and to what? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge." Amen. "And as a result of knowing," what does he say? "That you may be filled with all the fullness of God." All things that pertain to life and godliness. "That you may be filled with all the fullness of God." The fullness of God. We're not talking about partial. Fullness. To know him. To live a holy life like him. You have access to that. What are you yielding to? The point is, he's given you the ability through his grace and peace to live a godly life. And all things that you have to have in this life. Why? Because the Word of God directs you how to live your life here. And he closes that verse. In verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." In us. What is the Holy Spirit? He teaches us in all truth. Let the Holy Spirit take control. Surrender, right? Yes. Then he leads you. I was sitting at Christmas dinner with my sister Jennifer, and she was talking about this transformation that's happened with her husband David. Where the light went off for him to know Christ. And he says, it's like that little voice that I hear in my head, like, don't do this or that. He's like, I've never heard that voice before till just recently, where I'm not supposed to be doing something. And the little voice says, hey, don't do that. But up to that point, it was just through the motions. And that's the Holy Spirit in us, is the point. Amen. It's working inside you. He's trying to sanctify you. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So if you have faith in Christ, you have eternal life in Christ, and you're equipped to live a life on earth and grow in godliness or holiness. So as you come to know Christ more and more, you become more acquainted and fellowship with his sufferings and the power of his resurrection, then you will grow in holiness and obedience to God's word, which equips you to live your life here on earth, and that is called sanctification. Yes. Sanctification. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. Does not mean you'll be perfect. But you should continue to grow more and more. That's why I said, examine where you're at. Are you growing more? As we're closing out the end. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You see, we come to know Christ, right? When he opens our blinded eyes, we sing this, call us out of darkness into his light. His glory, that glorious day we were called into the light of Christ. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, right? A royal priesthood. A holy nation, his own special people. That you may what? Proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Ephesians 5, 8-10, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. In the Lord. Amen. Life, where was life at? In the sun. Walk, children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of what? The fruit of the Spirit. Where does the Spirit reside? Inside you. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So he is able to call us by his glory and virtue. And Christ, the point is, the foundation of faith, which does not get preached today. Christ's glory and virtue were all demonstrated at the intersection of two beams. Two wooden beams where he gave his life at the cross. His virtue and his glory was revealed because at his death, he gave up his life for you and I. He paid the ultimate price. That is... And that he rose from the grave, that we could have access to his life again. That's why the closing scripture is the opening scripture, which is that I can know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, so I can rise a new creation in Christ. The foundation of faith is Christ alone, that he died a death that he did not deserve on the cross. Mark it. That is the only true gospel. That he died for you and I. And the only way you have eternal life is to turn from your sin, to accept him, and to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And you can do that because he rose from the grave. He conquered death. And we have access to eternal life with him forevermore. And that is why Peter is driving the point home that your foundation must be faith in Christ. Not all the feel-good messages that are out there. What he was writing then, he exists today. The day of the Lord is coming. And there are going to be more and more false messages that exist because of that. So you must make sure your foundation, what you believe, is rock solid. Not by what man says, but what God alone says by the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, inspired.
Amen.
Let it grow deep inside you, deep roots. And you will be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaves will not wither. When the heat of the day comes, you won't wither. When the trials come, when the persecution comes, you won't wither. You won't turn away. You'll stand firm in your faith. Why? Because God's grace is growing inside you. And you will have that peace. That in the face of adversity, you will not be shaken. Do you remember when Peter was laying in the prison, knowing the next day he was supposed to die? He was sleeping. The angel of the Lord had to wake him up, to get him up and say, hey, it's time to go. It's not your time yet. The Lord didn't say you're going to get your head chopped off. He said you were going to die like him, his arms. So your time is not now. Let's go. The peace that passes all understanding. Amen?
Yes.
You can see where this message is going. Make sure you're firm in your foundation. Regardless of what man says, you test. That's why Scripture is so important. That's why Scripture is used. When you hear a message, it's Scripture. Scripture.
Amen.
Scripture.
Hallelujah.
It's the Word of God. It's not an opinion. Yeah, there's illustrations and things and expounding, but the point is Scripture.
That's right.
There's no private interpretation. That's what Peter calls. There's no private interpretation of Scripture.
No.
Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, thank you as we dive into this second letter, Lord. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you continue to illuminate your word to the hearts of the believers, that we would make ready a way, Lord, that we would just sure our foundation in you, for we know time is drawing to a near. Thank you, Father, for that which you've given to us, a life that is abundant in you, Christ. Be with us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.